Today's reading is from Luke 16, verses 19 to 31, and it's on page 1050 in the Pew Bibles. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of God.
There's a proverb: early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. However, good health and wealth are not guaranteed from simply waking up early, and what works best for one person may not work for another. So the proverb isn't true universally. At the time of Jesus, wealth was often seen as a sign of God's favor and a reward for good behavior. But Jesus challenged this view, emphasizing that riches could hinder one's relationship with God, and true treasure was spiritual rather than material. Poor health, particularly leprosy, was often seen as a divine punishment, a mark of sin or impurity. Jesus challenged this view also. So in the parable, there are two characters. First, there is the rich man. Every phrase adds something to the luxury in which he lived. He was clothed in purple and fine linen. That is the description of the robes of the high priests. And such robes cost more than the wages for 1 year for the common man. He feasted in luxury every day on costly dishes. He did this every day. In the time of Jesus, there were neither cutlery nor napkins. Food was eaten with the hands. And in very wealthy houses, the hands were cleansed by wiping them on hunks of bread. And then the bread was thrown away. It was that bread which Lazarus was waiting for. Second, there is Lazarus. He was a beggar. He was covered with ulcerated sores. So helpless was he that he could not even ward off the street dogs, unclean animals who pestered him. So there's two characters, one a picture of wealthy luxury, the other a picture of helplessness, desperate poverty. Such is the scene in this world. And then abruptly it changes to the next. There is Lazarus in glory, and the man who lived in luxury is in torment. The two had lived in close proximity, but after death they were separated by an impassable gulf, and their fortunes reversed. Now, two objections may come to mind at this point. It might seem that the wealthy are destined for hell and the poor for heaven. Now, if that were so, then how much could someone have in this world and still make it to heaven? Surely that is not the message of Jesus. It wouldn't tie up with all that he taught. None of us here, and the second objection is this, none of us here identify with these characters in the story. We're neither mega rich, nor are we destitute like poor Lazarus. So how's this story relevant to us? Well, my answer to that is, neither would Jesus, listeners. His audience would not comprise entirely of filthy rich and the desperately poor. There's something for everyone here. Let's go deeper. What was the sin of the rich man? He had not ordered Lazarus be removed from his gate. He had no objections to Lazarus receiving the bread that was flown away from his table. He did not kick Lazarus in passing. He was not deliberately cruel to him. His sin was that he never noticed Lazarus, that he accepted Lazarus as part of the landscape, that he thought it perfectly natural and inevitable that Lazarus should lie in pain and hunger while he wallowed in luxury. It's not what the rich man did that got him into hell, but what he didn't do. His sin was that he could look on the world's suffering and need and feel no pity in his heart. He looked at a fellow man, hungry and in pain, and did nothing about it. His was the punishment of the man who never noticed. It seems hard that his request that his brothers should be warned was refused. But if men possess the truth of God's word, and if wherever they look, there is sorrow to be comforted, need to be supplied, pain to be relieved, and if it moves them to no feeling and to no action, nothing will change them. It is a warning to remember that the sin of the rich man was not that he did wrong things, but that he did nothing. Driven by his love of money, he lacked any compassion. The reality of heaven and hell is a sobering point. The extremely selfish rich man suffers in hell, conscious of why he is there, and aware of the unbridgeable chasm between where he is and where he, a Jew, a son of Abraham, had expected to be. Lazarus, also a son of Abraham, we might assume, trusted God through all his suffering in his life, and it led him to eternal riches. Actually, the parable does not make that clear. The spotlight is on the selfish rich man. The parable highlights how choices made in life have eternal consequences. The time for repentance and choosing God is in this life. After death, the eternal state is fixed. That's a reality of life and death. I hasten to add that no Christian should fear hell for themselves. We accept the redemption of Jesus. He has paid the price of all our sin. He paid in full. Our places in heaven are already prepared. My big fear is for people, particularly those close to me, whom I love, who have not accepted Jesus into their lives. For them, I fear the reality of heaven and hell. The sufficiency of Scripture, the sufficiency of Scripture. Abraham's response to the man's request for a warning to his brothers suggests that Moses and the prophets is sufficient for guidance, and that those who reject it will not be persuaded, even by a resurrection from the dead. The phrase Moses and the prophet means in our language the Old Testament, God's word available to his people at the time of Jesus, written on scrolls, taught in the synagogues. And we have the Old Testament and the New Testament readily available to us. Now, I've heard people express their take on God philosophically in ways based more on their own thoughts and preferences than on Bible study. If there is another life after this one and God is good, he will surely accept me. God does not exist. If he did, he wouldn't allow the terrible things that happen in the world. Or what you believe doesn't matter. After all, no one really knows. I just wait and see. Ideas such as these are not biblical. They are baseless. In this parable, Jesus is quite clear from where we should receive our spiritual information. The Bible. What God says and how we should respond. He doesn't leave us in the dark. Reading and heeding the Bible is very, very important. Verse 31, and this is Abraham answering the rich man. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Even if someone rises from the dead. These words trigger our thinking to events later in Jesus' ministry. His listeners would not have known, but we New Testament readers know what follows. Someone rises from the dead. Actually, more than one, and there's two that come to mind. Strangely enough, Lazarus is the only character in any of the parables who is given a name. Jesus does raise a man by the name of Lazarus. They're not the same person. Lazarus of Bethany, brother of Martha and Mary, his raising was a pale foreshadow of Jesus' own resurrection. But let's have a look at Lazarus at Bethany. I may have a point here, and some commentators dismiss it. John 11 tells us the reason he was raised. It was not to bring a message from the afterlife. In John 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And from verse 38, Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they might believe that you sent me. You will see the glory of God, that they may believe that you sent me." Lazarus of Bethany was raised to identify Jesus. One sent by the Father, more than a prophet, indeed the Messiah, the promised deliverer of the Jewish nation, prophesied in the Old Testament, the leader and savior of Israel, indeed of the whole world. In the parable, "even if someone rises from the dead," refers to the raising of Lazarus, brother of Martha and Mary. Well, maybe it does. Most forcibly, it directs us to Jesus' own resurrection, the resurrection of the Savior of the world. The Bible clearly tells us why Jesus died and was resurrected. It was part of a divine plan to forgive and to pay for our sins and offer eternal life to those who have faith in him. The parable majors on the selfish wealth that took a man to hell. But which way to heaven? Look to the narrator, the storyteller, Jesus. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus highlights how choices made in life have eternal consequences. Earthly wealth and status do not guarantee favor in the afterlife. Lazarus, despite his poverty, is comforted in heaven. It urges to look at our priorities. It warns against placing too much value on material possessions. It is a warning to those who aren't paying any attention to the needs of others. That attitude has no place in God's kingdom. What else did Jesus say? The time for repentance and choosing God is in this life. After death, the eternal state is fixed. Read and heed the Bible. We have one shot at this life, and the next is consequent on how we respond to Scripture, how we respond to Jesus.